DeSoto gets knocked off. Woodville still in the mix. That and a whole lot more here on the 590 Sports Show. Stay tuned. We'll be back. Welcome to the 590 Sports Show, powered by Texas Podcast Media. Now here's your host, Craig Irwin, Toby Tullis, and Trent Hart. And welcome to the 590 Sports Show, powered by Texas Podcast Media. Craig Irwin here in the Randy's Rubs Hot Box. Trent Hart over there on the other side there in the Porter's Processing Swamp Box. How are you doing today, Trent?
A little swampy.
A little swampy.
A little gray outside. A little wet.
We got out of church this morning, and I told a good friend of mine, I said, man, this is a roast and potatoes kind of day. Cool outside.
Or some chili.
Yeah, really damp. It's just kind of one of them deals. You get out of church and it just makes it worthwhile walking in there and walking in the house and smelling that as good old roast sounds good. But dadgum, Trent, we're in the state semifinals. We're here.
Semifinals.
Yeah. Yeah. So,
I mean, it's went by too fast, but it's also been kind of draggy. Especially since our two hometown teams have been out of the mix, but it's been fun.
You've been out of the mix. Your hometown team—they never got in the mix. It almost seems like, right?
No, they didn't. But I mean, I stayed in the mix by, you know, being able to cover some games the first couple weeks and had a couple of weeks off. But I'm gonna be out and about this week.
Yeah, you got a game to go to.
Back to the grind.
Yeah,
of covering games.
A really good game, Kilgore football game, and definitely going to be worth paying attention to. But, man, there's a lot to talk about as we get ready and we kind of focus in to these state semifinal matchups. And something that I'm going to try to do as we go on, I'm going to pick my winners of each state semifinal game and see how I do. Overall, so yeah. Ought to be a lot of fun picking this out and just seeing how things go. And you know, last year during the state championships, I went 8-2 overall. Which
yes, we know.
Still
all about your 8-2.
There is a particular person, I'm not going to mention Trent's name, that still owes a steak dinner, but that's okay. Yeah, it's marinating.
I still owe a steak dinner, and we're probably – it's probably going to be like a double or nothing coming up. And then I'll owe you two steak dinners.
Yeah, well, that would be interesting. I guess that would be one for me and one for Rachel, right?
Yeah, I guess you can count it that way.
That's how it would go. That way you have to buy both of ours? Yeah, I figured you would, but – man, I'm excited about this state champion semifinal week and some really good games, some different names overall that we're going to be talking about here in the state semifinals. One of them, Edna, is a team that we're going to be talking about down at the 3A Division I level, and going to be talking about them a little bit. Not a whole bunch of stats that I can find or have been able to find on Edna. But a team we're going to talk about is they moved on, beat Sealy this last week, and we've talked about Sealy throughout this playoff appearances. And again, a team that you've actually seen, Trent, and what Sealy's done there at the 3A level, and as young as what they are.
Yeah, I mean, see, we did. We've talked about Sealy the last couple of weeks, and especially after we got to see them against Hampshire Finette, and talked about how young they are and how, you know, and we'll go into it a little bit more here in a little bit. But before we get into the semifinal matches, we got some championship games that are set in stone.
Yeah, we do.
At the six-man level.
Six-man level, 6A division. You want to go Division I or Division II?
I'll start with Division II. Jayton beat Klondike 90-48, and I love seeing some of these scores out of six-man. The week prior, Jayton beat Benjamin 100-50.
That's crazy, isn't it?
But that's six-man football for you. So Jayton advances to the championship game there at Jerry's World on December the 18th. against an Oakwood team that beat Oglesby 54-51. That sounded like it was a pretty tight and close game over there. So it'll be Jayton versus Oakwood. Jayton, the winner of District 8. Oakwood, the winner of District 12. Kind of, you know, Jayton's no stranger to playoff football and no stranger to championship games. I mean, they've been to the title game. Let me go back over here to it. They've had four title game appearances. Their two state titles coming back in the 80s. And like I was telling you earlier, those two titles coming ironically enough from my uncle Phil Mitchell that was coaching there for the Jayton Jaybirds back in the 80s.
Unbelievable. Way back then, you was just a tyke.
Yeah,
in those days.
Barely crawling around with a diaper on.
Right, exactly. Chasing a football, but that was about it. But this six-man, and here's the crazy thing, is these games, as we record on Sunday night, these games are 10 days away. So they get a week and a half to prepare for the state championships, where everybody else is still going to the, still has the semifinal round. But these games will be played at AT&T Stadium on Wednesday, December 18th. So 11 a.m. kickoff for Jayton versus Oakwood. And I think we'll preview this next week in the state championship preview show, right?
Oh, definitely, because we got to make our picks.
Yes.
And speaking of picks, you know, everybody needs to be watching out on the Facebook page. We'll have every championship game listed. And how this will go is that everybody will make their championship game-winning predictions. And we'll have a little prize pack. And speaking of prize packs, for those that won the regular season Pick'ems contest, be patient with us. We're trying to wrap up everything here in the football season, and we're going to get those prize packs to you in the top three from last season.
Hey, Trent, over on the Facebook page, on the Facebook Live, Steve Gramilio, I believe is how you pronounce it, comments in, Columbus Cardinals, total domination of the Franklin Lions. What'd you guys thinking about that? Honestly, I felt like whoever Franklin, I didn't expect Franklin to beat Hitchcock, Steve, honestly. Some injuries over there on Hitchcock's sidelines cost them at the end of the day. I knew Franklin had a stable of running backs, but for what Columbus did in that football game goes back to really what we've talked about and said about Columbus and the top two teams out of that district, them and Hitchcock. And Columbus being a two-seed team, kind of what we've talked about, some of these two, three, four seed teams that are still playing, and there's still a four seed that's playing in the state semifinals here this next week. But that game between Columbus, Franklin, a 62-42 football game.
We were keeping an eye on that score as it was coming through. And I even texted you, it looked like that Columbus was going to run away with that one, and they did. And I agree with you. I didn't expect for Hitchcock to fall to Franklin the week prior. And like you said, I think some injuries may have contributed to that. But nonetheless, we were hoping for a Hitchcock-Columbus match. Didn't get it. And I'm not surprised at that score, honestly. I didn't think Franklin was quite at the level they had been the last couple of years. I think you would agree with that too.
Most definitely.
I think if you go back early on into our podcast, even in the preseason, whenever we found out that Jason Rigdon was transferring over with his dad being a coach over there now, I think we were all in agreement that this possibly could be Columbus's year to win it all. And I still feel that way.
No, most definitely. And we're going to talk about that district a little bit deeper as we progress on through the show here in a little bit. And Ray Parkinson comments in, Oak Cliff really did a job on PNG. That's another one we're going to talk about, Ray.
Oh, yeah.
And a lot to talk about on that Oak Cliff football team as well as PNG. And we was hoping to get somebody else in here on the show, but stars didn't align this week to be able to get Ashley in, as he's an alumni from PNG, and it would have been nice to have him in here on the show this week kind of a recap of the season of what PNG has been able to do over the last couple of years. But nonetheless, a really good run for PNG, making it to the regional finals and falling short to South Oak Cliff, having to meet up with them in the regional finals versus in the state championship football game with the realignment in the new regions. And we talked about that early on. And David White just commented, I had Columbus last year and they're loaded. No, you're right, David. They are loaded. So moving over into six man, 1A.
Division one. You've got
Whiteface versus Gordon,
who defeated Water Valley 74-54 this last week. They'll face the defending state championship team from last year in the Gordon Longhorns, who defeated Abbott last week 77-36. So, I, to be honest with you, and I'll, and before we even go into our state preview show next week, I think Gordon's going to go back to back here.
You think Gordon's going to do it back to back? That's going to be one of them that's in the state championship in the pick'ems. So next week. So y'all need it. You have enough time to do some research for the show next week, and we throw everything down on the air here on the 590 Sports Show. But jumping up into 2A Division One. And or excuse me, 2A Division Two, I believe is where I'm at. Yep, 2A Division Two. Groover versus Munster, and then Bremon versus Shiner in the state semifinals. So let's start on that Groover versus Munster game. If I can get it to pull up here on my screen, Munster's averaging 50.4 points a game. Groover's been averaging 49.7. points per game. If you go down on their team stats overall, Groover's been averaging 274 yards rushing to Munster's 249 passing. Passing yards, 183 for Groover to Munster's 202, and total receiving 189 to 200, which is, I don't see how that can be that far off number wise, but it is what it is. Total yards per game, that's a big number for me, 457 for Groover, 451 for Munster as you look at that. And then if you look at points per game, 46.7, 46.5, so very even. But the leading rusher for Groover is Walker Maupin, averaging 151.2 yards per game for Groover, which is just, it's really good numbers there. You averaging 150. Brick Stratfield, quarterback for Groover, averaging 197.9 yards per game. But you look across, talking about the teletape, Kaysen Carney averaging 92 yards per game and averaging 202 yards in the air per game. So when I look at this game, Trent, and I think about the who's, the what's, the wins, and I look at the different names that I see over there on Groover side. You got Walker Maupin, you got Briggs Stratterfield, you got Nick Shepard, then you got Stephen Cohen, Cohen stepping up on the defensive side. There's more names there, right? If you look over there on Munster, you see Kaysen Carney, Kaysen Carney, Kaysen Carney, Kaysen Carney. It's like it's a one-man show, and I just don't feel like that one-man show is going to be enough for Munster. I think Groover's going to win this one.
I mean, that's not a bad, but you know, that's not a bad prediction looking at the numbers on paper, right? I mean, I don't know a whole lot about either one of these teams. I've seen that, you know, Munster being in the mix, you know, in these playoffs for over the last few years, so. You're probably right, and just telling by the numbers, I think it was more of a pass team versus a run team.
Right. No, most. Yeah. So, it was more run. I mean, you go back and you look, it's Munster's more balanced, 249 on the ground to 202 in the air. Groover's 274 on the ground to 183 in the air. But whenever you go back and I mean. I'm looking at Groover's 14-0 coming into this. Munster's 2-2, 12-2, excuse me. So I'd have to go back and look at see who their losses are to. But if you break it down, as far as common opponents, there is no common opponents between these two football teams.
Yeah, and I think Groover is a safe pick in that game. Like I said, I wouldn't try to pick one. This is going to be the Craig Irwin semifinal pick show.
Yeah,
I think.
Well, I mean, I'm just going off of what looking at stats that I can see what's on paper first and foremost, and then behind that, some of these teams I have got the opportunity to see, like the next one when you look at the Bremont Tigers versus the Shiner Comanches. Bremont's 12-2. Shiner is 11-3. I've got to see this Bremont football team against Lovelady a couple weeks ago, and then they followed up and played the Grapeland Sandies this last week with a win there. Bremont's averaging 47.6 points per game to Shiner's 37.4. Here's the ticket is Bremont's been averaging 283.5 yards per game on the ground to with 154.4 yards in the air to Shiner's 240 on the ground and 64 yards passing per game is on average, right? Bremont's been averaging 437 yards per game to Shiner's 305. I mean, it's pretty easy to look at whenever you look at this, but here's the impressive aspect of it. Terrence Scott, I've been talking about him the last couple of weeks, number zero. They call him Tank Scott if you look at one of their rosters. Averaging 131.2 yards per game. Just absolutely unbelievable. Sam Kozłowski averaging 157.5 yards per game in the air. And then Tristan Moorhead averaging 87.2 yards on the ground. Sam, and, you know, it's just, then you go down, look at tackles per game. Terrence Scott averaging 12.6. He's a junior. He's got two younger brothers that are on there on that team as well. One's a sophomore, one's a freshman. The kid's an absolute animal. All three of them are. But on the defensive side of the ball, averaging 12.6 tackles per game. That's just unheard of numbers there. No. So, I guess do I need to say my pick?
No, I mean, it's obvious that you're going with the team that you've seen in Bremont.
Yes, I'm going with Bremont in this one now. And not taking anything away from Shiner. Quincy Jones averaging 74.2 yards per game on the ground. Carson Schultz, 69.7 yards in the air. Bo Bonham averaging 12.9 yards receiving. So there's your top three stat leaders for Shiner. And I just think I watched that Bremont football team and Trent. They're really, really good. Going to be a lot of fun to watch how this plays out. Looking forward to seeing a Groover and a Bremont state championship football game coming up here in a couple weeks.
Oh, for sure. Actually, that was a game that I had on the list that's going to be played at Cyfair FCU Stadium. I was kind of in the back of my mind hoping for that one just to get over there at FCU Stadium. But nonetheless, no, going to be a good game this week.
You've had heck trying to get a game over there, but whenever you do finally get a game over there, you're going to absolutely love it. That place is just a state-of-the-art facility. Trying to pull up Bremont, and I keep screwing it up on my – there it is. I want to see what their history is. So Bremont has four state titles, 36 playoff appearances, eight title game appearances, and they've won four of the eight that they've done. So that they've been to. So very interesting to see what Bremont's done. And I'm going to go on a limb. I'm going to pick them to win it all right now.
Cool. Early prediction on the state championship team.
Yeah, just a little insight. So if y'all need to be sure y'all are listening to the show, And that way y'all can stay up to date. I don't know everything, but I do know whenever I've seen a really good football team, I'm gonna jump on that train. And I'm definitely on that train right now. Jumping up 4A Division 1.
I mean 2A Division.
2A Division 1. Excuse me. I'm sorry.
2A Division 1. You're getting way ahead.
Yeah, I am. Two complete undefeated football teams, Hamilton versus Stanford. Hamilton, both of them are Bulldogs, consequently.
Yep.
It's going to be a dogfight.
In the doghouse.
In
the doghouse at Ram Stadium in Mineral Wells.
Mineral Wells, where this game's going to be played. And I'm actually working up. I don't have that screen pulled up of where these games are going to be played. But Hamilton averaging 32.6 points per game. Stanford, 48.5 points per game. Not a lot of stats. The stats I do have is for Stanford. Kaysten Vega averaging 112.8 yards rushing. Christian Duran averaging 152.4 yards in the air for Stanford. Drew Falks averaging 54.5 yards per game receiving. So total yards per game, 205.2 overall for the Stanford Bulldogs. Like I say, don't have a lot of information on these two teams, but one common opponent is De Leon, and Hamilton beat De Leon 35-28 was the final there. And then you click over Stanford versus De Leon, it was 44-20. So one common opponent.
So pretty even.
Yeah.
As far as numbers on scoreboard watching goes. But from everything that I'm hearing from up that way, that's around the area that I grew up in. So everything I'm hearing is that Stanford is the real deal. So I might go out on a limb and say Stanford probably takes that one.
Well, and I was going to go that direction as well for one reason, and one reason alone is they've been averaging allowing 142 points per game, or excuse me, they've allowed 142 points overall to Hamilton's 200. So that little bit's going to, I mean, that to me, that makes a difference in how I'm going to make a decision out of those two teams. But dropping down onto the other side of the bracket, you have 4-seed Joaquin versus the winner of District 15, Grenado, squaring off this week. And where's that game going to be played at, Trent?
That is going to be at Shenandoah's Wood Forest Bank Stadium there on North I-45. So another game that I had on the list just because it was local. But no, the Cinderella story for 4-seed Joaquin continuing.
10-4 coming into this game. Grenado 13-1 coming in here. So points allowed this season, 435 for Joaquin, 141 for Grenado. So we, Trent, you and I were doing some talking earlier, and I kind of felt Joaquin may be that sleeper, be able to sleep through. But as I really sit here and look at this, they've been averaging 42.4 points per game. Grenado's 46.6 points per game. Here's what doesn't make a lot of sense to me, and I'm going to say the stats aren't completely up to date, is Grenado has been rushing 154 yards per game and passing 209 to Joaquin's 358.9 yards per game on average in 69 passing. So two total different, one's more balanced and one's like completely run heavy.
So you think that Joaquin probably a slot T team?
Probably a slot T. It's just guessing. They're leading, Joaquin's leading rusher, Elijah Hardison, 148.4 yards per game. And Justin Brown averaging 69.8 yards passing. And Cooper Bragg, the leading receiver, 22.1 yards to Grenado. Logan Bruce, 100 yards per game rushing on average. Bryce Ullman, 225.6 yards in the air on average. And then Austin Pena, 54.9 yards receiving per game. So it's going to be interesting.
I just looked. They are a slot T offense.
Look at you. doing a little research.
Yeah.
No common opponents for these two teams. Going to be interesting. I'm going to have to go with Grenado in this one.
Now, I mean, as much as you want to lean Grenado and I mean that there's that, you know, that underdog part of everybody that wants to see the underdog win, and for Joaquin to be a four seed and get this far is a testament in itself. But if they were to continue and at least make it to the championship, I mean, that would be unreal. You know, we talked about it last week, and we talked about it the weeks prior about the four-team format, playoff format that Texas has, and the drawbacks to it, but also the plus side of it. And the plus side of it is this situation with Joaquin as a four seed and getting hot at the right time and putting things together at the right time during these playoffs to make a really deep run.
Really will. We're going to take a quick break here on the 590 Sports Show. Pay a few bills. When we come back, we're going to jump 3A all the way up to 4A, talking Texas high school football in the state semifinals. You're listening to the 590 Sports Show, powered by Texas Podcast Media.
Howdy, folks. Randy here. At Randy's Rubs, it is our mission to bring you a variety of mouthwatering seasonings that are sure to make the ordinary extraordinary, to make the impossible possible. Creating memories with friends and family is what is most important to us, and we hope to be the cornerstone of your meals, making memories with the ones you love most. As all of you continue on your fall sports journey, Randy's Rubs wishes each of you an incredible season, and may each of you be an All-American. Go check us out on Amazon or at randysrubs.com. It don't suck, y'all.
Bullfrog Environmental has 16 years of erosion control experience. From silt fence to construction entrances, we specialize in it all. Give us a call at 936-672-3744 or leap over and visit us on the web at bullfrogenvironmental.com.
And welcome back to the 590 Sports Show, powered by Texas Podcast Media. Craig Irwin, Trent Hart. Craig Irwin in the Randy's Rubs hot box. I know we're in between Thanksgiving and Christmas, but and it is deer season, so don't forget our sponsors, Randy's Rubs and Porter's Processing down there in Anahuac, Texas. Excuse me. If you need your deer processed, go down there and see our good friends at Porter's Processing. Get that stuff taken care of. And then right behind that, go visit our good friends over there at Randy's Rubs, randysrubs.com, or on Amazon. Number of retailers that they're in as well. But anyway, go see our friends and get that deer meat seasoned up. I know Ray and I was chatting back and forth on Facebook. He was flaying out some backstrap, and he said, y'all come over and we'll talk about it. And because I asked him what time dinner was ready. He said, when you show up, we'll talk about it and sprinkle some of that Randy's Rubs on there. And that's what I'm talking about. That's some really good seasoning. I deep fried a turkey over Thanksgiving and seasoned it all up with Randy's Rubs. And I used this as it. I used Get the Net and 13-0 on that turkey, and you're talking about just absolutely delicious. So don't forget our friends over there. Great stocking stuffers as well. So go get the gift pack, get it shipped up, get it shipped to your house, and you got plenty of time to get ready for the holidays and get that stuff passed out. So go see them, Randy's Rubs, www.randysrubs.com. I can't tell you to go pick up some deer meat from Porter's Processing, but you can dang sure take your deer over there. So
you can probably get you some gator meat
over there. Probably so. Get you some gator. How about that for dinner? Instead of throwing a turkey, throw a gator up there, some gator tail.
Yeah.
So don't forget our friends over there. So y'all tell them we sent you. So they spend their hard earned money with us and help us do what we do. So help them out just a little bit. But moving on, we talked about six man. We talked about 2A, Division 1 and Division 2.
We're in
3A now. We're moving along. 3A, Division 2. The big conversation here, right?
Oh, yeah.
Talking about Woodville. Never making it this deep in the playoffs, and here they are.
Yeah. I mean, dropping down from 3A Division 1 into 3A Division 2. And this is a team that we've talked about all year. long, right?
Most definitely.
All year long. Because Old Spring played them. Anahuac played them. This was a team that we both felt like was going to make a deep run. We didn't necessarily think it was going to be this deep. We thought Thanksgiving, right? We were thinking they'll be playing Thanksgiving week. And it wouldn't be surprising if they played past it. But here we are. We're past Thanksgiving week. We're into the semifinals now. They're already have made history as far as their school goes.
Yes.
The big thing is they come in as the runner up in District 12 behind Newton. Not sure what the details were at that Newton versus Woodville game. Doesn't matter now because in the playoffs it's win or go home, and Woodville has managed to make the wins or get the wins that they need to, but they've gotten these wins convincingly.
Yes.
Right. Convincingly. Let's just look at that for a second. Woodville week one of the playoffs, 49-12 over Art, 48-21 over Grand Saline, 42-12 over DeKalb, 40-7 over Dangerfield, which Dangerfield beat Newton the week prior, 62-28. I did not expect that score to be like that lopsided against Dangerfield. Did you?
I never seen it. And that was part of the conversation that we talked about in that week's show was what happened in Newton for them to suffer that kind of loss. Cause we really thought we were going to be looking at a Newton Woodville rematch.
Oh yeah. We were hoping for it. Right.
Yeah, most definitely.
And I mean, it didn't end up happening, but for Woodville, to go and smack Dangerfield in the mouth 40-7 this late in the playoffs is a big deal. And I think it opened up quite a few people's eyes for them to be able to do that. We always talk about, you know, hitting your stride and playing really great football in the playoffs, and that's what Woodville has done.
That is what they have done. And if you go back and you look to about September 15th, if you're on Apple or Spotify and you scroll back and you look at the podcast – after Cold Spring and Woodville played, on the podcast, I said Woodville will be playing in the state championship football game. Do you remember that?
I don't remember that. I know we've talked about them going deep. Yep. I know that for sure. We've said that this Woodville team was built for a deep playoff run.
And that's exactly where they are. I know for a fact I said that. Woodville has allowed 189 points on the season to Tide Haven's 295. Woodville averaging 40.7 points a game to Tide Haven's 33.4. The stats are very short. Don't have a whole bunch for these two teams. No common opponents. I don't have any stats whatsoever. No standout players to really talk about to highlight on their team stats of where they're at right now. But at the end of the day, this is going to be a really good football game. I think this is a game that Woodville is going to win. And Mark their ticket to Jerry's World the next week.
Well, I think with as good a football as they're playing, they have a really good shot of winning it all at this point.
I agree.
I'm not just saying that because they're the last Southeast Texas team that are in the immediate area still in the mix, right? You look at the defense and how they've been playing defense through the playoffs and holding teams to no. I think they're Grand Saline scored the most on them in the playoff run, which was 21. And then Woodville outscored them, 48-21 in that game. But still, I think Woodville's defense is probably the unsung hero. Would you agree with that too?
Allowing 52 points through the postseason is what this defense has allowed. And we talked about their defense and their speed defensively. And if you'll remember correctly, Trent, just a year ago, we were talking about Woodville in the playoffs. And what was one of the things we talked about? We talked about how good their defense was, but how poor their attitude was. You remember that?
It seems like they've gotten that under control for one. You know, the attitudes, the unnecessary penalties and the frustrations that we would see in the year prior. They've gotten that under control, and I think that Coach Robinson over there has gotten these kids believing, you know, in their athletic ability. Finally, you know, they had the ability last year, and they made a pretty decent run last year. But I think this year is a completely different story with it, when it comes to just the attitudes of those kids.
No, you're exactly right. Steve commenting on the Facebook live feed there on 590 Sports there on our Facebook page. You can chime in there. Each week we get in there, we do a live show while we're doing the podcast here. Get on there between 4:30 in the evening. And when we do our Facebook lives, and Steve commenting on live, he said Woodville gave Columbus a hell in the second round of the playoffs last year in 3A Division I. And that's part of the talk, right? Woodville, yeah, in the redistricting moves down to 3A Division II, and that's what really kind of built all that, ramped up all the talk that you and I had about how good Woodville was and how they were going to do in that 3A Division II atmosphere and an opportunity before they ever stepped on the field in 3A Division II. If you go back and listen to our February-March podcast, we really talked about what Woodville could possibly do over there. And Steve saying he said that he knew they would do good this year, especially, Steve, after the reclassification, whenever they dropped down to 3A Division II, that said a lot for that Woodville football team.
Oh, it definitely did. And we knew that, you know, dropping down a division was going to do nothing but help them. But again, knowing the group of athletes that they had and what they were going to be able to put on the field this year just added to that. And, you know, this is a game that I really, really wanted this week. I mean, this is a, you know, we wanted to collab with our good friends over there at SETX Sports. Not going to happen this week. I think Tide Haven has a production crew over there that they're going to be using, which is fine. It's going to be on the NFHS network regardless. And a game that I'm definitely going to be watching. I'm sure a lot of people in our area is going to be watching.
Here's the deal. Something to talk about with Woodville. They returned 4 on the offensive side of the ball, 7 on the defensive side of the ball from 20 returners overall on the offensive side, 15 on the
15 Letterman.
Letterman, right? So whenever you look at what they returned on the defensive side of the ball and what they're able to do, what they've been able to do, the numbers kind of back it up, in my opinion. So
yeah, no doubt. No doubt. I mean, anytime that you can get, you know, six or more returning on either side of the ball is going to help you tremendously. And like you said, I mean, that translates to the defensive numbers that we're seeing here in the playoffs.
Right. Moving on to the other side of the bracket, Wall versus Gunner. It seems like you talk about these two teams playing each other over the years. I don't know what their overall head to head record is, Trent. You may be able to pull that up, but Wall Hawks, 13-1, Gunner Tigers 12-2 coming into this football game. Game's going to be played in Walt on Friday. Hang on. No, I'm reading it wrong. I'm sorry. So Wall has points allowed 168 to Gunner's 183 on the season. Wall averaging 42.9 points per game, Gunner 44.1. I think this game's going to be a nail biter. Not a whole bunch of stats to go off of Gunner, but I want to highlight Thomas Linos averaging 74.8 yards per game rushing, and then Landon York 247.7 yards per game in the air is what he's averaging. So a pass heavy offense for Wall. Briggs Jones averaging 73.8 yards receiving per game. As their leading receiver, Landon York, total yards per game, they're averaging 252, which those stats don't completely add up to me. But nonetheless, with what they have, no common opponents between these two football teams. I feel like this is going to be a barn burner and could be one of them one score games that has you on the edge of your seat all night long.
Yeah, I mean, it could be. I think you're used to seeing Gunner, because I'm looking at it right now as far as if they played each other, and they haven't.
Really?
I think you're just used to seeing Wall and Gunner in that playoff picture quite a bit. And I was too. I was like, surely they've played each other. But Gunner especially, I mean, 5 title game appearances, 3 state titles, storied program over there, which is interesting because they're not ranked in the top 10 coming in. And I wish I'd have researched it a little bit more about how many non-ranked teams are in this round of the playoffs.
Yeah, I kind of missed that myself. But here's another thing to talk about. Gunner only allowing 35 points through the postseason scored.
Yeah.
That's pretty impressive. Then you go to the other side, top side out of Region 1, you look at what Wall's done, 21, 35, 35, 59 points in the postseason is what Wall's allowed. Pretty interesting, I think. And then we talked about Woodville, 54 points is what they've allowed through the postseason. So going to be interesting. I'm looking forward to seeing how this plays out for the two. Let's jump over to 3A Division I. Run it down, Trinster.
So 3A Division I, and this is this is a division that we know very, all too well. First, you've got Paradise and Malakoff. They're going to be facing off against each other this week at the Star in Frisco. Paradise coming off a 33-15 win over Shallow Water this last week. Columbus, of course, coming off of that big win against Franklin last week, 62-42. We said that earlier. Edna coming off of a 41-14 win over Llano. Toby has mentioned this Edna team a couple of times, I think, in the podcast.
And
yes. Edna's a program that we've seen in the playoffs before, too. I still think that it's Columbus's year. I still think that Columbus is going to move on, but they're going to have their hands full, I think, with this Edna team.
No, I think they could very well have their hands full. Both these teams kind of close together. Where's this game being played at?
Let me go over to it. Got so many windows open.
I know that feeling.
So Columbus and Edna will face Thursday, 7 o'clock at Rice Stadium.
That's
Paradise,
right.
And Malakoff will be at Frisco's Ford Center. So, I think that game was on my list as well. Short drive over there to Rice Stadium. So, a lot of Thursday games. Of course, they're preparing to play on Thursday. A lot of these 3A and below.
Yes, they are. So I'm looking forward to that as well. That game is probably one that I'm going to make Thursday, as it's literally about 7 minutes from my office downtown to Rice Stadium. So probably going to be a game that I go to Thursday night. Looking forward to this football game. I want to watch this Edna team because, as you said, Toby has talked a lot about Edna and what they've done. Don't have an abundance of stats on Edna as I try to pull them up. I want to look at their roster to see what they have, how young Edna is, and or are they senior heavy? And Toby talks about them, but he gives just a little bit of information. So 28 returners for Edna with 7 Letterman, and they're starting 8 on the offensive, returning 8 on the offensive side of the ball, 7 on the defensive side of the ball.
That's a lot to return on both sides of the football. So I think that this Edna team's pretty daggum good.
I agree. They were state semifinalists last year, so they've made 1 title game appearance, 36 playoff appearances overall. 0 state titles. So they're going to have to get past a very good Columbus football team if they want to make a trip back to Jerry's World and an opportunity to get their first state title. And I truly feel like the state champion, whenever you look at this, I truly feel like the state champion is going to come out of Region 3, out of this area. Excuse me, that side of the bracket.
That side of the bracket. But right. we're also on the train of that, Columbus going to win it. But, all roads lead probably to Malakoff.
Yeah, I think it's going to come down to Malakoff versus Columbus in the state championship game. That's my honest opinion. time will tell. And I'm excited about the semifinal week this week, and to be able to talk about, you know, getting through this and talking about who we have in the state championship games in the following week. We're going to take a quick break. We'll talk 4A and work our way up through 5A Division I here in just a moment. You're listening to the 599 Sports Show, powered by Texas Podcast Media.
From custom processing, professional guide and hunts, high tanning and gator merchandise, Waters Processing and Alligator Farm offers a personal experience like no other. Locally owned and operated in Anahuac, Texas since 1987, Waters has been Southeast Texas' choice for any hunting adventure need. Now offering full-service processing of gator, deer, beef, hogs, and other wild game, make Waters Processing this hunting season's one-stop shop. Go to WatersProcessing.com or call 409-267-8413.
Bullfrog Environmental has 16 years of erosion control experience. From silt fence to construction entrances, we specialize in it all. Give us a call at 936-672-3744 or leap over and visit us on the web at bullfrogenvironmental.com.
And welcome back to the 599 Sports Show, powered by Texas Podcast Media. Craig Irwin in the Randy's Rubs Hot Box. Trent Hart over there in Anahuac, Texas, in the Porter's Processing Swamp Box. And, man, pretty good show thus far, Trent.
We're zipping right through these brackets, B.
Yeah, we are. And some really good games coming up here in the state semifinals as we're getting ready to dive into 4A Division One, right? And
Division Two, excuse me.
And talk about that whole deal. But really good football teams, and really looking forward to this. Three very prominent names that we've talked about a lot throughout this year and last year that we see sitting here, but Carthage, Brock, McKinney ISD Stadium, Friday, 7 p.m. kickoff. Going to be a really good football game. Pretty evenly matched football teams. Carthage has allowed 145 points on the season to Brock's 150. Carthage averaging 49.1 points per game to Brock's 42.5. Carthage's one hiccup is to Kilgore. And we'll talk about that a little bit more. Not a lot of stats for Carthage posted on the page. But if you go down and you look at Brock, 208 yards in the air, 182 yards, excuse me, 208 on the ground, 182 in the air. Very balanced offense between the two. Averaging 390.6 yards per game. Cody Farmer, their leading rusher, 67.9 yards per game. That tells me, with them averaging 208 yards per game, that they have a plethora of running backs there at Brock. Brody Woods, the quarterback, averaging 165.5 yards in the air. Colt Matlock, their leading receiver, 54.1. So that means they probably have three or four guys that they're throwing to throughout the night there for Brock.
Yeah, we talked about how Brock has seamlessly transitioned into 4A Division II.
Yes.
And, you know, barn burner against Graham this last week, only winning, I say barn burner, it's not really, it was a low-scoring game, 12-10 is how they got that win this last week. So it was their toughest matchup to date. And just impressive how Brock has been able to move up in classification and get this far into the playoffs.
And moving over to the other side, talking about La Vega versus Wimberley, let's not forget who La Vega's had to go through. They had to go through, they just absolutely annihilated District 11 and District 9, right? They beat West Orange Stark in the regional quarterfinals. Then you move over, they beat Silsbee in the regional finals.
Regional round.
Yes, the regional round. They beat West Orange in the area, Silsbee in the regional round, and then went through District 11 in the quarterfinals, is beating Sealy 48-30 was the final there. But Wimberley, with what they've done, they defeated Cuero 2 weeks ago. Sitton this last week, 36-33 was the final there for Wimberley to get to where they're at and facing La Vega.
Yeah, I mean, Wimberley having their toughest matchup against Sitton this last week, and to go and beat Cuero was that the week prior was, you know, caught our attention a little bit, and I think you mentioned it last week that Wimberley was going to come out on top of Sitton, which, you know, they did. And I don't know why, but I feel like La Vega is on such a roll that they're going to probably pick up this one. Maybe you're opposite of me here.
I feel like that I am. Wimberley averaging 47.6 points per game. La Vega 38.7. La Vega's giving up 281 points on the season to Wimberley's 226. Wimberley runs that slot, or traditionally in the past had run that slot T offense. Rushing yards per game, Wimberley 228, passing 205, for an average of 433 yards of total offense. La Vega's 195 on the ground, 174 in the air for 370 total offense. So Wimberley puts up more yardage overall than what La Vega does. Let's talk about some leading players for both teams. Cody Stover, averaging 100 yards per game rushing, also out of the quarterback position, 190 yards passing per game is what he averages. So kind of a dual threat in the air with his arm and on the ground with his feet. Jace Morales averaging 59 yards a game receiving, and total yards per game on average 290. Go over to La Vega side, Bryson Rowland, 132 yards per game rushing. Courtney Farr, quarterback, 139.5 yards in the air. And then Jamboree Thornton, averaging 85.9 yards receiving for La Vega. So kind of a tell of the tape of what they look like. Wimberley's coming in this game 12-2, La Vega 11-3. It's going to be a really good football game, and I think it's going to be a low-scoring game between the two. And it's going to be very interesting and a fun game to keep up with Friday night.
Oh, definitely that. It's fun keeping track of you know, just especially seeing La Vega and what they've went through. You know, West Orange Stark and Silsby, and then of course the Sealy who knocked out Hampshire Finette early on. I mean, it's right. We're down to the wire here on all these divisions, and it's going to be fun to see who ends up in these championship games.
No, it really is. Jumping up into 4A Division One, you got West Plains versus Salina. West Plains knocked Stephenville off last week. 42-35 was the final there for West Plains to move on to the semifinals. Salina defeated Alvarado 55-21 to move on to the semifinal round. Then Lavernia defeated Bay City last week. 42-24 was the final for them to move on. And Kilgore defeated Chapel Hill 30-6. This was a district rematch that we talked about in last week's show.
Yeah. I think we all felt that Kilgore had the edge, and they've been a good team all year long. We'll be covering that this Friday night, 7 o'clock at Randall Reed Stadium. So, pretty cool that, we're covering a game this late in the playoffs. It's the first time that we've been able to cover a semifinal round. So, got my work cut out for me to research, both Kilgore and Lavernia and what they've done this year as far as numbers go. I do feel like Kilgore is on track to probably win this football game and move on to Jerry's World.
So if we talk about Kilgore and talk about a little bit more, and before we do that, let's get into the Salina West Plains game. Let's talk about that. Salina's averaging, giving up 212 points, West Plains 343. Salina's averaging 51.9 points per game to West Plains 39.8. Not a lot of stats overall, but the leading rusher for, West Plains is Slade Russell, averaging 111 yards per game. Reed Malcon, averaging 232 yards in the air. And then Kane White Tinsley, 71.3 yards receiving on the season for him. And I was trying to pull up some stats, overall team stats, but was quick stats. So he's had 1,564 yards total rushing is what Slade Russell has on the season this year. And then Reed Malcon, a junior quarterback for West Plains, if I can get everything to load up the way I want it to, 3,261 yards is what he's thrown for, 34 touchdowns, averaging 232 per game, 238 completions for 331 attempts. So well above 50% on his passing, only thrown five interceptions. So, talking about Reed Malcon from West Plains. So, not any stats posted for Salina, so we can't really elaborate on them stat-wise overall. But if you move over to the Kilgore-Lavernia, kind of the same thing. Kilgore doesn't have a lot of stats left, but they've allowed 178 points on the season to 259 for Lavernia. Kilgore averaging 38.4 points per game to Lavernia's 38.1. So there's a common foe. Kilgore has taken two games into overtime here in the 2024 football season. So that makes it interesting. But what the topic that I was going to bring up talking about Kilgore was, if you go back and you look at Dave Campbell's and kind of what they talked about, they had Kilgore picked as a sleeper to win the state title here in 4A Division One.
No, they did. I remember that, actually.
So let's not forget about that. And I've kind of jumped after Kilgore beat Carthage and then turned around and beat Chapel Hill. I was a believer in all of it, and they're still rolling. And got an opportunity. I think this is going to be a really good football game at Randall Reed Stadium. It's going to be one hell of a broadcast by NOAC Sports Live there on the NFHS network. So if you're not able to make that game and you want to see a top quality broadcast, you click over there to NFHS network and you watch this football game. It's going to be better than any of the broadcasts that you watch in the state title games. I can promise you that.
Well, thank you. I guess the question is Craig Irwin going to join us Friday night?
I'm going to flip a coin and say probably so. Now, we do have a rodeo Saturday, and Sister is coming to the house this weekend, Friday. So I need to talk to the boss downstairs, not the CEO, the real boss.
You can bring them, and they can sit in the box too.
She don't want no part of sitting in that box, but we'll figure it out. 98.9% sure that Alex Outram would have the call, Craig Irwin with the color, and Trent Hart with the production.
That's the plan anyway.
So looking forward to this 4A Division I matchup, and moving over to 5A Division II.
Oh, now we're getting into the weeds.
Let's just go ahead and bite the head off the bullet, right?
Yeah. Let's just talk about it, right? You've got Argyle versus South Oak Cliff. Argyle coming off a win against Lovejoy 42-17. And then, of course, the shot heard round Southeast Texas was South Oak Cliff getting their revenge 56-14 over the PNG Indians.
Yeah, big game for South Oak Cliff and their recruiting staff that they have, and the amount of move-ins conveniently that they have from DeSoto. And you know, here's the deal. I'll just go ahead and say it. If those move-ins would have stayed in DeSoto, maybe DeSoto would have won this last week.
I mean, it's a possibility. I mean, there was a post, and I'm not going to go like too deep as far as, but there's been a lot of talk, right, about the transferring of students and players across the state. And it's not just South Oak Cliff. It just so happened that the conversation started with South Oak Cliff having six players that went to school in different at different schools the previous year or, you know, years prior. And this is something that we have not really dove into on the podcast, but has actually become the norm in Texas high school football.
That it has. And it's about, and I mean, it's about these kids moving around, right? I mean, right. You see it possibly over in Willis, North Shore, Atascocita, Crosby, Katy, Wood, the Woodlands,
yeah,
Oak Ridge. Yeah, I mean, it's not a secret, right? It's no. Just people not getting caught
at right. the end of or the day. It's the way that you go about it, yes. Right? It's one thing, you know, if parents are moving to an area for a job, or, you know, the UIL hears, I don't even want to guesstimate of how many cases that the committee hears per year on transfers.
Right.
Right. It's a staggering number, I'm sure. And they listen to everybody's situation. You know, there's paperwork that you have to submit. There's a process that you have to go through, and the UIL looks at each and every one of them, right? Not to say that some of them don't get slipped through the cracks, because they probably do, but it's kind of gotten to the point, and this is just my opinion, it's kind of gotten to the point that it's just kind of gotten ridiculous. And I understand, you know, parents moving for jobs, and I understand wanting to get your kids into a better school program, you know, educational wise or whatever, but there's also the aspect of, you know, you're moving for sports reasons too, right? You might be a pretty, I would say, median or average athlete at a 4A Division I school, but then you start looking at 3A Division II. You know, and it could go all the way from 6A or, you know, whatever. And you're like, okay, well, my child probably has a better opportunity to stand out down here. And that happens a lot too. I mean, and then there's other personal situations where a student may not be, you know, getting along with other kids. It goes on and on and on. There's so many situations out there. But in my opinion, I feel like that it's just gotten kind of out of hand with this open transfer portal system, kind of like college, we got going on in college.
No, I agree. And here's the deal, as I'm looking at the numbers, right? There's almost 500 freshmen at South Oak Cliff. There's about 450 10th graders. Then you drop into the 11th grade, you're looking at about 300 and about 300 seniors. You're talking about a school with an enrollment of 1,513 total kids, right? 99.1% is of the minority enrollment. 63% African American, 33.9% Hispanic. That breaks up, that's the big majority of what's there in South Oak Cliff. And let's not forget what borders South Oak Cliff. You got DeSoto, you got Duncanville. I mean, it's a part of Dallas ISD, right? These kids, I would go on a limb and say that there's open enrollment due to test scores overall. We deal with it in Cold Spring and Shepherd here locally with the open enrollment. We got kids that move from Cleveland and from Livingston that come this way and move here to these smaller school districts. And there you're moving from the 6A level of Duncanville and DeSoto and dropping down to the 5A level to help with the athleticism aspect of it, going to a smaller school versus maybe not getting that playing time at a bigger school. I know some kids that were here in Cold Spring that are now playing in Huntsville and have been playing in Huntsville all through high school, that it's helped groom them to be the better football players that they are today, moving to Huntsville and going and play in that program there. Would they have been standout athletes in Cold Spring? Absolutely, they would have. Would they make a big difference in the program here in Cold Spring? Absolutely, they would. But them moving up there to Huntsville has made them even better, right? In sure. With the open enrollment and where they live on the borderline of Huntsville ISD versus Cold Spring Oakhurst Independent School District, whenever you get out there on 190, it's such a thin line on where those district school lines are. So with that being said, very interesting with South Oak Cliff, with the players that they've recruited, I mean, acquired over the last year or two to help them come into the football team that they are. And you know what? Hats off to them. Big win this last week over PNG. 56-14 was the final there. Going to be a very interesting game this week between South Oak Cliff and Argyle's. South Oak Cliff 12-2, Argyle 13-1. And South Oak Cliff, points allowed 165 to Argyle's 231. Argyle has outscored South Oak Cliff 41.4 points per game on average to South Oak Cliff's 39.8. So it's going to make that game a little interesting there in that aspect. If you look at yards rushing per game, 203 for South Oak, Argyle 197. Where Argyle kind of has the edge is 214 in the air to South Oak Cliff's 148. And then you look down at their stat leaders. South Oak Cliff's leading rusher, McCalli Trotter, 71.8 yards per game rushing. Carter Kopsky, 136.3 yards in the air. And then Nate Coleman, their leading receiver for South Oak Cliff, of 39.9 yards per game. But if you look over on the other side of Argyle, Watson Bell averages 90.9 yards per game rushing. Marguerite Gasperson, the leading passer for Argyle, 203 in the air. And then Will, man, they win the Hard Name of the Year award, 72.4 yards per game on average receiving. So this is going to be a really good football game, in my opinion. Very tough one for me to pick.
I don't think it's going to be lopsided, that's for sure.
I don't think it is. I think it's going to be a very tight game. It's going to be played at SMU Gerald J. Ford Stadium Friday night, 7 p.m. This Friday night. So definitely going to be one to keep an eye on. Moving over to the other side, Richmond Randall versus Bernie. And we've talked about Richmond Randall and the ease that they've had to get to where they are. I didn't mean to click on that. Let me back up. Richmond Randall coming off of a win over Iowa Colony 21-14 this last week. And then Bernie coming off of a win over Miller 65-50. Lack of defense between both teams. I think Richmond Randall's going to win this football game over Bernie. Randall's 14-0. Bernie's 11-3. Randall's allowed 107 points over the 2024 season to Bernie's 336. And then you look at Richmond Randall averaging 52.6 points per game to Bernie's 44.3 points per game. So, and if you go down and you look at total yards, the numbers are a little bit lower overall for Richmond Randall at 429 to Bernie's 481. But Richmond Randall, they're 264 yards rushing, 164 in the air to Bernie's 177 on the ground to 303 in the air. So a little bit difference. One's more balanced, I guess, than the other. Whenever you look at these two football teams.
Wow.
I think Richmond Randall's going to win that football game there at the 5A Division I level.
You're right.
And going to roll through. Let's jump into 6A Division II, and then let's just go ahead and slide through
We have 5A Division I yet.
Oh,
going through 5A Division II. So we got 5A Division I, where Denton Ryan takes on Highland Park. Denton Ryan coming off of their win against Aledo 31-21. Highland Park won against Lone Star this last week 41-28. And then the other side of it, you've got Angleton, who, beat a LaPorte team that I don't think anybody really thought would make it that far as they did. But a close game, 24-21, Angleton made the win there over LaPorte. And then they were taking on Smithson Valley, who beat Flower Bluff 49-14. And, just looking at it though, Laporte, I mean, making it that far, that, you know, hats off to them for doing that and really fighting it out off there in the regional final against Angleton. But Angleton coming out ahead in that one.
Yeah, Angleton coming out. Coach Jason Britton, head coach over there at Angleton. Let's credit Jamarcus Shockey, averaging 104.8 points or yards per game rushing. And then Bryce Duran, 137.8 yards in the air. They've been averaging – that number's way off. I'm not even going to begin to – I'm not even going to throw that out there. Averaging 361 yards per game. I'm sorry, I was looking on the wrong screen. But 361 yards per game, they've been averaging 231 on the ground, 130 in the air. If you look at their team stats, so it's going to be interesting. 49.8 tackles per game, averaging 2.6 sacks. And then, obviously, as I said earlier, 38.2 points per game is what they've been averaging. So it's going to be a tall task for Angleton to get past Missing Valley, but being able to get to the fifth round of the playoffs is a big feat for the Angleton, Wildcats. And I'm going to look forward to this. Trying to see where this game's being played at.
I was actually looking at the close games that Angleton has had. Port Arthur. I mean, look, every game has been fairly close for Angleton. 35-28 in the bi-district round over Weiss. 36-29 versus Port Arthur in area. 35-34 versus College Station. And then the 24-21 victory last week. I mean, all of their games have been decided by a touchdown or less.
And that game last week was down to the wire for those guys. Yeah. I was watching it on social media as Coach Britton's wife was updating and tagging him in there. But it was down to the wire. This game is going to be played 2:30 Saturday afternoon at Waco's McLean Stadium there at Baylor. So that's where that game is going to get played between Angleton and Smithson Valley. Denton Ryan versus Highland Park, that game Friday at Frisco's Ford Field. Going to be another good game out of this 5A Division I.
Yeah, very, very, very cool. Moving on, though, are we gonna take a break or are we going to try to shoot through it?
Let's just shoot through it. Might as well, right?
Yeah, let's do it. We're almost at the end here.
Yeah, there's a light at the end of the tunnel. I mean, and I'm in a predicament. The NFR is going on right now, not currently right this second, but as we're doing the show. But we got our weekly TV show that we watch. It comes on at 7, but yet the NFR comes on as well. So I got to figure out who's going to trump who and what am I going to watch, because I'm very, very, very vested into the NFR. Really to both of them, but NFR only comes once a year for 10 days in a row, so...
Yeah, you can watch that other show anytime on demand.
Yeah, you're exactly right. Now, I am DVRing the NFR because my old butt cannot stay up and watch all the events. I get tired. So then I get up the next morning, or I've been getting up the next morning and watching the second half after the saddle bronc riding. So I love my rodeo life and watching that. So, over in 6A Division II, Summer Creek defeated Kingwood 51-7. Just defeated them with a statement, right? How cool was that game, or would it have been to be at that game as it was at Turner Stadium there?
Yeah, home team for both.
Yeah, it was a home game for both schools, and to be right there. And I'm glad I wasn't driving around that area because I know it was packed over there. But Summer Creek, out of Region 3, defeated Kingwood. That was a district rematch, right? And we had two of them out of this 6A area. So very cool. Summer Creek gets the win. Still, I mean, here we go. They only allowed 7 points, and we've talked about Summer Creek this year and the lack of points they've allowed. Is it their year to win a state title? They have Vandergriff, McLean Stadium, and Baylor. Yeah. At Baylor, this game will be Saturday at 7 p.m. So if you're looking for a couple games to go to on Saturday, you can catch them back to back, right? 5A Division One, and then 6A Division Two. This is going to be a really good football game between Summer Creek and Vandergriff. Summer Creek has allowed 162 points to Vandergriff's 186 is what they've allowed. Now, Summer Creek's averaging 50.6 points per game, Vandergriff 43.3 whenever you look at it. Looking at team stats, Summer Creek, 192 yards rushing, 231 in the air for a total of averaging 423 per game. Vandergriff, 166 on the ground, 197 in the air for a total of 363 total yards. And the leading rusher for Summer Creek is actually Blake Thomas, averaging 51.3 yards per game. He's also their quarterback, averaging 206 yards in the air. So Benny Easter Jr., averaging 64.4 yards on the ground. Tyson Joyner, their leading tackler, 6.4 tackles per game. But if you look over at Vandergriff, Griffin Gorebeck, averaging 123 yards on the ground. Miles Tidoki is what we're going to call it, 193.7 in the air. So they're more balanced than what Summer Creek is. Summer Creek's more of a passing team. Going to be a very good game to watch. I got Summer Creek winning this one, Trent.
I think it's going to be close. I think it's going to be closer than what I think most people are thinking it might be, but just looking at the way that both of these teams have destroyed opposing teams coming through these playoffs, I'm anxious to see what this one ends up being.
So the next question is how good is the Longview Lobos? Defeated DeSoto 50-14 last week.
Well, I mean, I think you said it last week. We were, if they were to knock off this DeSoto team, you'd become a believer. Are you a believer now?
I am. I'm 1,000% a believer. And I did say that last week. And here's the hard part is you go through and you look at what DeSoto had been doing coming into this. They'd averaged 50.9 points per game to Longview's 33.3 points per game. So Longview was dead on average, but yet they were the better team. And that's why you play the game off of 11 guys on each side of the ball versus scoreboard watching.
No, it is. And, I mean, it was a surprise whenever that score came through. I didn't think it was going to be that lopsided. And I actually didn't even really personally think that Longview was going to come out with a W, but they ended up doing it, and very convincingly. And now they face a storied South Lake Carroll Dragons. And they're, I mean, that's – talk about probably one of the best games in the state. That's probably one of the best games in the state this week.
I agree. South Lake Carroll 14-0, Longview Lobos 12-2. South Lake Carroll averaging 51.8 points per game, Longview's typical 33.3. If you look at the stat chart, South Lake Carroll averaging 207 yards per game on the ground to 260 in the air, very balanced. And averaging 467 yards per game. Longview averaging 266 on the ground, 95 yards in the air for a total of 361. So if you look at this just off of that line, you're going to think that South Lake Carroll ought to win this. But I'm sure these stats were completely lopsided whenever you looked at the Longview and the DeSoto game. South Lake Carroll's leading rusher is Riley Wormanly, 116 yards per game. Angelo Reina, averaging 241 yards in the air for South Lake Carroll Dragons. Kelvin Washington, 173 yards on the ground per game. Maverick Rowe, 91.4 yards in the air. And then Kelvin Washington is also their leading receiver with averaging 30 yards per game. So kind of one-dimensional. Right. And I say one dimensional. It's a true RPO type offense that you're going to see, but with more run than you do anything else. And I'm sure a lot of those passes going out to Kelvin Washington are kind of swing passes as he's coming out of the backfield. Right. Just guessing for this Longview Lobo football team. It's going to be a fun game to watch. Kaysen Brooks, another one to look out for as number 31. He's averaging 1.1 sack per game and 11 tackles per game for the Lobos. So looking forward to that. Kelvin Washington also averaging 17.1 points per game for the Lobos. So I am a believer. They got their hands full this week against South Lake Carroll at the 6A Division II level. Looking forward to seeing what's going to happen here. I think Summer Creek's going to come out on top over Vandergriff. This Longview football team, I'm a believer in them, but I think the history that South Lake Carroll has, I think South Lake Carroll's going to get the win in South Lake Carroll versus Summer Creek in the state championship games just 1 week away.
Which will be awesome.
That would be pretty cool.
It doesn't matter. These 6A Division II and Division I games at this point are must-see, right? The semifinal games, and then when you get to the finals, they're must-see football games, because I was watching some of it on Saturday, and we'll talk about that game here in a minute, but it's basically, you know, college level type play that you're watching out of these teams at this point.
It really is. North Crowley, 6A Division I, gets the win over Allen 35-7 to move on to the semifinal round to take on Duncanville, who defeated Cypress Bridgeland 31-13. Cool thing was, we were headed up Saturday. The wife and I were doing some running, and we stopped up in Madisonville at Bucky's while we were out running around. There was a host of Duncanville fans up in there as they was headed down there for this football game between Bridgeland. So it was kind of neat watching that. Duncanville gets the win. 31-13 was the final. So you got North Crowley versus Duncanville on one side of the bracket. On the other side, North Shore defeats Atascocita 49-21, another district rematch. And North Shore will take on Austin Westlake, who defeated Lake Travis 24-17 this last week, as we take a look at the cap. At the recap, North Shore 14-0, Westlake Chaparrales 13-1. Is this going to be a year they can take them down? I don't know. Westlake has only allowed 175 points scored against them this year to North Shore's 180. North Shore averaging 44.5 points per game. Westlake 43.8 points per game is what the daily average is for the two teams. Now, here's where it gets really good. Team stats. North Shore, 213.4 yards on the ground, 218 in the air. You don't get more balanced than that, right? 432.4 total yards. But do you? Westlake, 175 on the ground, 176.7 in the air for a total of 351.7. I mean, two very balanced football teams. Caleb Bailey, the leading rusher for North Shore, averaging 60.5 yards per game. Also, their quarterback throwing for 171.5 yards per game. Quanell X Jr. is their leading receiver, 63.3 yards per game. I know why he goes by X now, because that Farhar, however you say that, it's just unbelievable. And then Caleb Bailey, averaging 232 yards per game. But moving over to Westlake side, Grady Bartlett averaging 55.9 yards on the ground. Reese Wise, 163.2 yards in the air. Lawson Grimes, the leading receiver for 76, averaging 76 yards per game. And then so for Austin Westlake. So going to be an interesting game between these two. I think you go off of experience, and I got to go with North Shore in this one.
Yeah, I mean, I watched a little bit of North Shore Atascocita Saturday, and Atascocita just did not have they could not match up with North Shore score for score. And unfortunate, because there's a lot of athletic talent on Atascocita. We talked about how, you know, the 4x100 stars that they had and there was a couple of times that it ended up being a track meet and some back and forth action going on between Atascocita and North Shore. But I think you're right. I think North Shore comes out on top of this one. And I think we're going to get North Shore Duncanville part four in the the championship game.
Very well could, but North Crowley is saying otherwise. North Crowley is perfect on the season, 14-0. Duncanville Panthers are 13-0, which they had a game, I guess, get canceled early on. North Crowley averaging, giving up 228 points to Duncanville's 167. North Crowley averaging 55.6 points per game to Duncanville's 44.4. Now, I've seen some videos of this North Crowley football team, and there is a lot of hype built around North Crowley right now. And they're talking like North Crowley is going to be able to beat Duncanville. And I'll be honest, it wouldn't surprise me. And if they do beat Duncanville, it'll be the first time in a long time, in about 4 years, that we didn't have a Duncanville North Shore matchup in the state championship football game.
Yeah, 2021 was when Duncanville and North Shore first met up in the final. The year prior to that, in 2020, North Shore faced Westlake, actually. So you can look at both of these semifinal games, and both of these semifinal games are, you know, championship worthy.
Yeah, state championship caliber
games. You're going to get that type of football out of both of these games.
So North Crowley averaging 56.1 yards rushing per game, 55 in there. These stats are not correct whatsoever. Can't be correct. So Duncanville, 138 on the ground, 294 in the air for an average of 433. If you go back and you look at stats overall per player, Cornelius Warren III, 116 yards on the ground, on average for North Crowley. Chris Jemerson, 258 yards in the air passing. Quentin Gibson, the leading rusher or leading receiver, with 168.7 yards. And then if you move over to Duncanville, Quanell Armstrong averaging 50 yards a game rushing. Keelon Russell, 280 yards in the air. And then DeCorian Moore averaging 94.2 yards per game. Look, you got guys that are going D1 on both football teams that are going to go on and play. Going to be really, really, really interesting. So three common opponents between these two teams, Lancaster, DeSoto, and Rockwall. Duncanville defeated Lancaster 41-7. See if I can pull this up the easy way. North Crowley beat Lancaster 29-21. DeSoto, North Crowley beat DeSoto 57-51. And then defeated Rockwall. North Crowley defeated Rockwall 70-17. If you go to the other side, excuse me, Duncanville defeated Lancaster 41-7. DeSoto, they defeated them 42-21 was the final there. And then you look at the Rockwall game, the final was 56-14 in favor of Duncanville. So if I was happy to go, go ahead.
Yeah, just listening to that, Duncanville beat all of those teams more handedly than North Crowley did.
Not exactly. And that's kind of where I was going with that is I feel like Duncanville is going to beat this North Crowley football team. I think that it's going to be a really good football game, but I got Duncanville winning this one by two scores.
Yeah, I think you're on point there. I mean, as much hype as there is around North Crowley, and I've seen a lot of it come up on X and some of the highlights and stuff like that. And there's a lot of people excited about North Crowley, and it would be. I mean, I honestly don't want to see Duncanville North Shore again in the final. I wouldn't mind seeing something mix up here, right? But at the same time, it's good talking points when you're talking about Duncanville versus North Shore in the final. I mean, Duncanville's got the lead on that series, I think, 2-1 over North Shore. So there's that aspect of it, but I still think I would like to see some different teams playing in the championship game.
Nah, get kind of mix it up, right? See something different, a little different look. I don't disagree with you one bit whatsoever. And let's just remember, and I know we're still a week away and we got to get the semifinals out of the way, but over there at that Dave Campbell's website, they had North Shore beating Duncanville in the state title game this year. So it's going to be interesting to see how this stuff plays out as we've went through from 1A six-man football all the way up to 6A here on the 590 Sports Show. Totally looking forward to this week. This week we will be at Randall Reed Stadium. Right, Trent?
Friday night, 7 o'clock, Kilgore versus Lavernia. I invite everybody to come check out the broadcast and, listen to us over there. A big thanks out to Dave Campbell's Texas Football and giving us a shot to cover the semifinal round. Like I mentioned earlier, it's our first time covering a semifinal round. Super excited about it. We were able to cover the regional finals the last couple of years. So to be able to cover a semifinal game right before they go to Jerry's World is super cool.
Super, really cool for us, for all of us, to be able to step up to that level and get that deep in the playoffs. We did take a couple weeks off, but nonetheless, we're going to be at Randall Reed Stadium right there in New Caney, Texas, being able to do this game. Kilgore versus Lavernia. Totally looking forward to it. So y'all stay tuned to the 590 Sports page, Anahuac Sports Live. Don't forget about our sponsors, Randy's Rubs, Porter's Processing, Bullfrog Environmental. Don't forget about all those guys. Go visit them. All this rain we're getting, Bullfrog Environmental is definitely somebody you need on speed dial, especially if you got some new construction going on, whether it's a housing project or any kind of commercial stuff, and you need to keep mud and water off the roads. Call Bullfrog Environmental, get them guys out there, get some silt fence up, and let them help you put together a plan in place to help control the erosion there on your new construction project. Our good friends over there at Porter's Processing, it's deer season. Get those deer down there to Anahuac, Texas. It's a little bit of a drive to get over there down there in Anahuac, depending on where you're coming from, but definitely worth carrying to and getting those deers processed. And once you get that meat in, call our good friends over at Randy's Rubs, Randy's Rubs That Don't Suck, y'all, www.randysrubs.com. They're on, visit them on the web and or on Amazon and get that stuff ordered. Great gift idea, stocking stuffers for your dad, for your grandpa, for your wife, whoever does the cooking around, and or maybe just a coworker, a good friend. It'd be a great stocking stuffer for you to get as we're coming up on the Christmas holidays, Trent. So be sure to visit our good friends over there at Randy's Rubs.
Definitely so. And don't forget to tell them who sent you.
Yeah, most definitely. Do not forget to tell them that we sent you over there, and let them know that their advertising is working for them. For Trent Hart, I'm Craig Irwin, and the 590 Sports Show. We will see you at the game.